Thank you, Mr. Brunick. They said that we had a cold front. I guess that's it. Well, that's a cold front for us. You know, several years ago, I was fortunate to go to the feast in South Dakota. And in one of our day trips, we went to one of the national parks there. And we were fortunate to see a buffalo roundup. And they had all these buffaloes they had rounding up. I don't know how many. There were a lot of them. And we went to the end of the reserve there, and there was a group of people. And there was a fence, looked like cattle fence. And there was all these buffalo here, and the people were on the other side, and they had their tripods and their telephoto lens. They were really taking pictures. And so we got down and we went along. We started seeing these, you know, admiring all these animals. And out from beyond, this lady comes through the crowd and towards the fence. And we were like maybe 50 yards, you know, 75, you know, the ranger recommended that we stay back because these are animals, wild animals, for our safety. Well, this lady walked straight in and almost maybe 4 or 5 feet from the fence. And she had a telephoto lens and she was I'm very shy. And I said, ma'am, you shouldn't be that close because these are wild animals. And there's a mother bison with a baby calf. And totally ignored me. And she had two little boys, 5 or 6 years old, and they were running around. Sure enough, no sooner I said that, the mama bison went towards her and charged her, hit the fence. She hit the fence, and you know, I've seen the fence when it stretches, you know, that's the way it did. And when it happened, she fell back and dusted herself off. And I don't know why you need to go that close if you have a telephoto lens. And I said, ma'am, I said, we go through the first, you know, are you okay? And I'm going to make buffalo burgers out of you. That's all she said. And I said, well, and that's when we, Amalia and I said, you know, that's it. We've seen enough. The circus is over. So we left. But foolishness abounds. And I'm pretty sure you have your stories as well. But just imagine that type of foolishness in a leadership position. Just imagine that. Relying on your own decisions, not relying on maybe, somebody saying, that's not a good idea, you know. So I started digging through and trying to look for foolish leaders, foolish decisions. So I came across one that was pretty interesting. The time slot is 1828. It's in Mexico City. And as you know, Mexico has had its occupants or its invaders. You had the French and you had the Spaniards and you had the Austrians. That's where Maximilian came from. But you had all these people and during that time frame, they left different people. There were French and there were Spaniards and there were Austrians there in Mexico City. And there was a riot, I think it was a food riot, if I read correctly. And they started looting shops and breaking windows. And one of the shops that they destroyed was a pastry shop. It was owned by a French pastry chef named Rometel. And he was so upset, you know, because of food prices that was caused by the government. So he went to the Mexican government and he said, I demand that you, you know, pay me for operations of my pastry shop, that you caused this riot to happen. And that was quickly ignored. So he said, well, I know, I'll go to the France. I'll ask France, you know, please. So that was ignored. So that was forgotten by all, except maybe by Rometel. Anyway, 10 years passed, And lo and behold, King Louis-Philippe from France sends a bill to the Mexican government saying, hey, we demand you pay for damages incurred to a pastry chef, Rommel. Oh, by the way, it's a 90% interest rate, too. And which Mexico ignored, and that led to a war. It's called a pastry war, believe it or not. So France invades Mexico. They blockaded the Bay of Campeche. You might have heard of that. And they blockaded that, and they invaded Veracruz, and they get into this big fight, and people die, and they go back and forth. It all lasts until 1861. And then finally, France had its own turmoils. They had their own food deal. And then finally, France, you know, said, no, forget it. So they called their troops back up, and they forgot about it. And Mexico forgot about it. So everybody forgot about it except Rommel. That was foolish. That's what happens to foolish leadership over a pastry chef, over a pastry shop. So the definition of foolish is lacking good sense or judgment, unwise. You know, you've heard people, I wouldn't do that if I were you. But yeah, that's a good consulting, don't do it. But those are just examples of foolish and foolish leadership. What we go through. I ask you, are we fools or were we fools? We were fools, weren't we? That is a true statement. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It's not me saying this, it's Paul to the Corinthian church. You know, because Corinthian church were, you know, they were pretty well-to-do people. And for him to come out and say the first Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, he said, this is out of the NIV, and says, he chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He called his parish or his group following the church fools. And what is he talking about? He. Well, God chose us, correct? That's when John 6:44 and Ephesians 1 says. And also in Titus 1:1, it says that we're predestined as the called out ones to be kings and priests of God's kingdom. That's what he's bringing us together for that. But sometimes, you know, we are human, and sometimes we get the big head syndrome or the self-righteousness syndrome. We do foolish things. The title of my sermonette is Addressing the Foolish. Yes, we can be foolish, but there's a difference. The difference is we have the knowledge to correct ourselves. We can say, hey, that was dumb. Or that we shouldn't do that. Or we can catch ourselves saying, you know, this person is wise counsel is telling me, don't do it. So we have the knowledge to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Because the counsel says no. That's the difference. But do we as leaders, we've got to recognize, like if we don't know already, the traits of a foolish leader. What is the traits? We know what are the traits of a godly leader, because we taught that. First, let's go to Matthew 7:17. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17. What is what's the evidence of a fool? It says, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. That's pretty plain and simple. As someone that involves myself in growing things and planting things, I can relate to that. On the trip over here, I had a phone call from someone, and he said, you know, I buy eggs from you, but how about if you sell me one of your chickens? And I said, no, I'm not. I'll sell you my eggs, but I'm not going to sell you the chickens. He says, yeah, because your chickens are so beautiful. They're black and they look like they're oil. And I said, well, it's what I feed them. You know, it's what you put into it. You know, they eat good food and good nourishing food. So that's, if we eat of the fruit of life, the bread, manna, his word, we have good fruit. A fool doesn't. The foolish engage in slander. They are stubborn, hotheads, have no shame, reckless. They talk nonsense. They don't like to be proved wrong. They have no regard of wisdom, and they are quick to speak. Have you ever talked with somebody and they talk over you? Are you seeing conversations, one person trying to talk over the other person? Or one has a quick answer? Well, it's not me saying this, you know, it's the Bible saying that that identifies. And they consider this, and here's the clincher. And they consider themselves religious, but they blurt out whatever they have on their mind, not caring whom they offend, making their religion worthless. That's out of the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26. Now, the translation is, you know, I think it's the New English Version, but I'd look that so I could understand it. And that pretty much hits home base. You can hit the King James, it kind of the same thing. So, but James was talking to believers. So this is not old news. So we have to watch how we act and how we present ourselves, because we are, you know, we're preaching the gospel, not standing on street corners with a bullhorn, no, but how we act. You know, most of these things of the fools you can take out of the book of Proverbs. But there's one proverb that I want to delve into that I want to explain. Proverbs 26, verses 4 through 5. If you can come with me, travel with me. Proverbs 26, verses 4 through 5. It's some there that got me. I don't know if you understood it, but I caught myself and said, what did that mean? But it says, in verse 4, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly or his foolishness, or you yourself will be just like him. And verse 5, here's the one. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. I ask myself, okay, which is it? You know. So verse 4 is pretty much self-explanatory. Don't get in an argument with a fool, or like, you know, some people say, don't be an idiot. Don't get in a conversation or argument with an idiot. It's like the donkey in the jungle, you know, says, oh, I love the grass is blue, the grass is blue, the grass is blue. And they come across the tiger. The tiger said, the grass ain't blue, it's green. And he goes, blue. So they went into an argument. So he said, we'll go take it to the king of the jungle. But king of the jungle, as we know, is the Cape Buffalo, not the lion. So they go to the king of the jungle and says, sir, he says, what is the grass blue or is it green? And the Cape Buffalo says, it's blue. And so the donkey goes on his way and says, told you, Cape. And for your penance, tiger, you're not going to roar for a year. And he said, sir, you know the grass is green. He said, I know that. He said, but I'm giving you the penance because for bringing such a foolish thing matter to my. So again, don't get in an argument with a fool. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5 is totally different. There is going to be a time you're going to have to do the 1 Peter 3:15 thing. A fool is probably going to try to put you on the spot, which I'm pretty sure we haven't been there already. And he's going to say something or state something or accuse you of something. And you're going to have to take a position. Take that position and state it, but don't get an argument. Just state it and be done with it. I want to go ahead and reiterate something, and something that happened to me. I was new in church many years ago, and there was an individual saying this about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is, you know, who says it's the seventh day? You know, it's not the seventh day. You know, he was being a fool. And he directed it to me, and what say you? And I said, well, it's seventh day. I says, well, and how could I prove it? And I said, well, you can go to the calendar, you know. And he said, oh, not the Hebrew. You're going, referring to the Hebrew calendar or the Samaritan. There's one called Samaritan. And I said, no, it's the Gregorian calendar, the one we all use. Is you go count the day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he went on, well, that's, you know, everybody can go on this on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And I just dropped it. I just said, that's it. I said, it's there. But don't go further. That's what that verse, after extensive research, I found out, don't just state your position, and that's what the position is. That's your beliefs are, and show him or show her where it's what your justification is, and drop it. Don't try to get into an argument. Make himself look like a fool. Because whoever, I'm pretty sure fools will do something like challenge you in front of an audience. He won't do like we're instructed is take him aside and talk with him. No, they'll go in and they want an audience. But remember, answer correctly with fear and trembling. That's where that 1 Peter 3:15 says. Remember that they say there's no bigger fool than an old fool. You know, old fool means basically, you know, we're old enough to know, us older folks, than to do foolish things. Remember, you know, they have that on a previous sermonette I said about the populations divided into different segments, and 80% of the population is basically ignorant. You know, they know just enough to be dangerous. So in knowing that, brethren, state your position, and you know what a fool looks like and how he acts and what his fruits are. And as far as Romtel, the pastry chef owner, he felt foolish bringing up such a thing to the Mexican or to the French government. Fear God and keep his commandments.